all you jive hustlers, you stone foxes, you mean dudes, watch out.
The Godfather of Harlem is doing it again.
There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa.
Like stealing candy from a baby.
Super strong, supernatural, and
the baddest cat that ever walked the earth.
Damn, brother, you have become one violent dude.
I might not be the baddest man in the world, but I'm in the top two, and my father is getting old.
His business is pleasure. He sells the soft stuff.
Rated R. It's nasty.
Hi, I'm Sam Sugar. Welcome to Podnography Show 13. Podnography is a weekly look at the world of sex and pornography via news, reviews, and interviews. Along with our usual review of the past week at Fleshbot, this week's show includes a review of non-sex podcast Audio Crush, because they did something which I've wanted to for ages, but I haven't, and if you don't listen to many podcasts, you might miss it. Finally, I talked to video casting pioneer and Canadian computer. I need help with an alliteration.
You know I can't compute instinct.
Well, you have to try harder.
Trucker shorthand brutalizes my vocabulary banks.
Yeah.
It must be a problem in calibration.
Forget it. I'll do it myself. Canadian cutie. I guess it'll have to do. Anyway, I also speak to Miss Kitka, whose video cast is so perfectly timed to exploit the zeitgeist that she'll be paying me a bacchanal to polish her blog by Christmas. It's also show 13, so let's hope that nothing goes wrong. Each week, Fleshbot gets to second base with the consent of a bunch of websites and then makes a desperate run for third mid-kiss. This is what they felt up this week. To celebrate free speech in that taking it completely literally way beloved of students, UCSD campus TV show Koala TV made and aired its own porn movie recently. Fleshbot provided links to free video downloads and a comprehensive gallery of stills. It's really something you have to see to fully appreciate. A tubby, red-headed undergrad making fuck to a professional adult movie actress with vaginal razor burn and smaller breasts than the guy she's with. It even has a lame boy meets girl in the park plot. Podnography fully supports the censorship of this movie and the legal action taken against the participants on the grounds of low quality. Blue Blood Halloween is a site Fleshbot found which couples pierced tattooed goth chicks, nudity, and buckets of bright red stage blood. It's hot if you like messy, but I can't look at anyone with extensive body modification without wondering how you explain to your heirs why grandma has the first verse of a Depeche Mode song written on her calf. How likely is it that someone who can't decide which color to make their hair will be able to decide on body art that they'll love for 60 years? Anyway, if you like to imagine women covered in blood, ask your counselor if viewing the site's okay and have at it. Happy Flasher is a site Fleshbot discovered dedicated to my favorite form of street art, women flashing. It's ad-free, packed with pictures, and completely free. It's free! I found this site was most fun once I'd drunk a 12-pack of Coors Light, taken off my t-shirt, wrapped it around my head, and written USA on my chest in lipstick. At this point, I put on Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue and started dancing. I'm sure the site's awesome, I just don't remember that much. After that. This week, my favorite Fleshbot weirdness comes from Hong Kong and hinges on the old chestnut, when is it okay for a cute Chinese chick to dress as a Nazi and give a one-arm salute? I don't know about you, but this PC stuff's just gone crazy. I get it. The Holocaust was a serious bummer. But it was over 150 years ago now, and the Chinese have apologized enough. Let's reclaim Nazi ideology so it's not offensive anymore. I'm trying to do my best to start this off myself, but I need your help. Recently, I was at a Hurricane Katrina benefit, sat at a table with Rosie O'Donnell and Morgan Freeman. Let me tell you, they didn't appreciate being called a fat queer and a nigger at all. It's sad that they don't understand what important reclaiming work I'm doing. I was joking, people. I'd never say stuff like that. Not to their faces, anyway. The most interesting news covered by Fleshbot this week concerned the FBI raiding Max Hardcore's offices. Adding a, "we couldn't write this shit" turn to the proceedings, the G-men doing the raiding, who had waited until Max left the country before they made their move, entered his building with guns drawn, presumably in case his housekeeper and assistant decided to go out Scarface style, and shot the floor. Despite being someone who finds Max's piss and vomit movies slightly less appealing than the thought of drinking a cup of warm Santorum, it's hard not to want to high-five a guy who's not only going to win his case, but now is also going to get paid damages as a result of the FBI's incompetence. Why did they have their weapons drawn? They were seizing computers and Max wasn't even there. It's not all the Fed's fault. I've got friends who are G-men and they're cool. Instead of the government telling the cops to raid people who do stuff they don't like and then trying to convince juries to convict, the FBI should do what it used to, namely investigate people who are breaking laws that exist now, not trying to set precedents which make currently legal activity illegal. How can anyone claim to be offended by material they have to buy a DVD or join a website to see? Total bullshit. I wish Max luck he shouldn't need. I also wish he'd make nicer movies, but that's just a matter of personal taste. They were my five faves from Fleshbot this week. Check back daily for more updates. I've done enough talking for a while, so take a break from me and enjoy a song courtesy of Amy Correa. No relation to Chick and nothing to do with the country. If you don't like it, just skip forward 3 minutes and 56 seconds and admit you're deaf.
Underneath the taxis and the shuffling feet I found.
This week's review isn't. Audio Crush isn't a sex podcast, but in their 10th show they did something well worth sharing, and thanks to the magic of the internet, I can share it with you here.
Welcome to Audio Crush 10.
That's right, we've done it.
10th really show. Only 9 shows, though.
Their idea was simple. Place a personal ad on Craigslist, posing as a woman who's sexually available, gorgeous, and crazy enough to put her cell phone number into an online ad, and wait for the phone calls to come in.
Oh, yes, I'm responding to your Craigslist ad, wondering if you're still up for some hot sexual fun. Give me a call. Bye.
Nice, huh? As a guy, this is a field guide as to what not to do. For women, this is probably just frightening or familiar, depending on where you come at it from.
Let's set this up. Why do we have that? Why are we listening to that?
Well, McLean, I posted an ad, a personal ad under Casual Encounters on Craigslist and put a phone number to a voicemail box. I posted as a 25-year-old woman.
Nice.
You can work as a 25-year-old woman.
You think so?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's half right.
That's
I'm
true.
I'm halfway there.
You are. It was a sexy ad, though. I mean, you sounded good.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a sexy ad, and we got 100 calls a day at first.
An avalanche.
It was incredible. Yeah. Actually, I witnessed the floodgates opening because I was sitting at work, and I checked the Audio Crush email account fairly regularly, just to see if someone wrote in about the show or whatever. So I checked it, and there was nothing there. And literally 15 minutes later, I went back, and there was 80 new messages already. And that was the first day.
Wow.
Well, let's get on with it.
Great. Let's play some calls.
Hello, baby. I saw your ad on Craigslist, and I want to fuck you right in your ear. And I want to get the goat and have you suck him off and blow his huge goat load right in your fucking mouth. And then after that, I'm going to get your fucking... Hold on.
Yeah. He put us on hold. I like how he says, get the goat. Like, yeah. like that's a household object that everyone has.
I mean, he's got it for that purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, like baby, I'm going to go get the goat.
That was me, by the way. I was actually...
That was a pretty good accent, wherever that was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was a really good accent.
Thanks. I was working on it.
I didn't know you were so devious, or such a deviant.
We call this next guy Business Timothy.
This is a two-parter.
This is great.
Yes, good morning. I saw your ad in Craigslist, and just calling to touch bases with you. My name is
Timothy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good job, Tim. That was bland. So Tim called back to try to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah, good morning. This is
Timothy
again. I just reread your ad, and you said, tell you something sexy. I'm a professional middle-aged guy in great shape, and I work out and have a great body, well hung, and love to you know, treat a woman with respect and passion. So if you want to give me a call, it's I get your ad off Craigslist. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
I don't think that's what he meant to say. I think he was going to say something different.
The thing is, he left that original really bland message, and then he reread it, and he's like, oh, fuck. He's like, I didn't leave a sexy message. I got to call her back.
Right. And then he blew it.
Yeah.
You should have rehearsed.
Yeah.
There's a guy in here that rehearsed a little bit. I don't know his name.
I think there are a couple of rehearsers.
Yeah.
Rehearser.
Now, do you think they just rehearsed for this particular ad, or do they just have a shtick that they use all the time? You know?
I think if any of these calls ever worked, they'd probably...
Repeat them.
Yeah.
That's true.
Let's have another one.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know why I got cut off, but, I could definitely show you a good time. Don't know if you've ever been with a black man or not, but I love you. and whatever you want, you know, multiple orgasms, I love pleasure from a woman, but and we can hook up. Okay, I don't know if you got a lot of responses to that.
That was real quiet.
Yeah.
Kind of disturbing.
Yeah, he was kind of like breathing real soft, and I don't know if he was in a public. There's a couple guys like that.
Ladies
just
might like that, though.
You know what? I think that guy auditioned for the cellmate next to Anthony Hopkins in, you know, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yeah.
That guy sounds creepy, just like that guy. That's my opinion.
Okay.
That is a totally valid opinion.
This is America.
Boy, aren't you bold to leave your cell phone number on Craigslist there? But I can accommodate you here for a night or two. You can call and ask for
Richard.
And I bet you are a sex kitten. And you know, I'm married, so this would be a little side thing for me too. So describe yourself.
He lost it.
Yeah.
He totally blew it there at the end. He's like, so describe yourself. And he's like, oh, fuck. Just call.
I think a lot of these guys get some stage fright.
Yeah, that guy, he said he was going to, he could accommodate her for a night or two. I feel like his plan is to, like, abduct her. Like, once she kind of shows up at the door, she's not leaving until he's done.
These calls are kind of all about the winning lines. Like, that guy thought about, I bet you are a sex kid.
Right.
From thought about that one.
From the two sentences in the ad.
And aren't you bold? this next one also has a really winning line.
Yeah, it's me again. I forgot to leave the number so you can call back and leave a description and what I'm into. I'm 28, about 6 foot, 215 pounds, short military style brown hair, hazel eyes, a large athletic build, and broad shoulders, 7.5 inch. Thick cock. I'm into hot, delicious, uninhibited sexual fun. So if you're interested, give me a call back. All right, bye.
Me too.
You know that guy.
Where
sounded,
was he reading that from?
He's reading from like his last physical. That guy sounds.
The doctor described him.
7 inch thick cock.
But that guy seven sounds, and a half. 7.5 is a recurring theme.
Interesting.
In a lot of these calls, 7.5 inches. I think it's like just above average, maybe, but
not threatening.
Yeah, exact. Not like, oh, you're lying.
Right, totally.
Or I'm going to hurt you.
Like, I happen to know that all three of us, 7.5 inches and thick.
Right.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look at me. What else do you expect?
That guy sounded pretty uninhibited. And it sounds like he likes his sex that way.
He sounds a little bit inhibited, I think.
He had short, brown, military-style hair.
That's inhibited.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, shoulders.
Sorry, dude.
That's nice.
Hazel eyes.
Kind of a big bear.
Hey, babe, from Craigslist. We meet down at the lounge. We dance a couple. I ask you if you want to go watch a movie. I'll continue dancing up in my suite. We get in the elevator. We kiss. Gently at first, then passionately, our hands roaming all over each other. I cup your ass and pull you toward me, hoping you feel my rock-hard cock. We get to my room and I shut and lock the door and pin you against the wall. Put your hands up over your head and hold them there and kiss you and grind into your crotch. I ask you if you want to dance for me. And you do. You do a slow, erotic strip down to your sexy lingerie. I pull out my cock and start stroking it. 7.5 inches, nice and thick. You come over, you rub against it. You get down on your knees. You peel off your bra. You take your tits and wrap them around my cock. I grab your nipples, pull you up, kiss you passionately. I stand up and scoop you up in my arms, carry you over to the bed. Give me a call if you like this.
It's killer, isn't it? That's not what Audio Crush is all about. They're a band in Boston using podcasting to promote their music and other tunes they appreciate. If you like music and listening to drunk guys talking, you'll dig it. If you don't, stop bitching and enjoy the sound of guys crashing and burning in public. This week's interviewee is Miss Kitka, a sex blogger who is among the very first to have embraced video podcasting, and one of the few you'd actually want to spend any significant period of time looking at. We talked earlier this week about a lot of random stuff. Warning, some of the following audio contains references to Star Trek.
Hello, Kitka.
Hello, Sam.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day, and I know you have taken time out of your day because we are, I believe, 7 or 8 hours apart at this point, and you should be eating lunch, so feel free to have a sandwich if you feel the need.
I'm famished.
Thank you. And, you know, now that
you're... Are
you
going to pay for the sandwich?
I will, you know, if you buy a sandwich, you can invoice me, and I will PayPal you the money.
Sure.
But we can only have one or two fillings. You know, we can't go crazy here.
That's all right.
Okay.
I don't know. Sandwiches are okay. I prefer Lebanese and Greek sandwiches with pita.
Well, this is interesting. Do you have any Lebanese and Greek heritage?
No, not at all. But I do have sex with a Lebanese.
The way that you said that makes it sound really odd. But I guess technically it's perfect. But, you know, it's just I have sex with a Lebanese. I guess that's like... you know, in California, when you're being PC or just educated, some people refer to Japanese people as, you know, a Japanese, as opposed to a Japanese person. But your other half is Lebanese, I take it.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and if Lebanese guys want to try their luck, they should watch your show and send your email. Well,
perhaps. They'll have to kneel before Zod first.
Of course. Well, for people who don't know and haven't yet cottoned on to your backstory, Kitka's other half goes by the name Zod after the great Zod as portrayed by Terrence Stamp in Superman 2. One of the great films of the past 25 years, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Tell me, actually, being Lebanese, is he from Lebanesia? Or did he grow up in Canada?
He was born in Bahrain.
Ah.
And he moved over to Canada during the Gulf War with his family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, hang on, did he cotton on to Superman 2 in over there or over here?
Oh, over there, absolutely.
That's interesting. So Superman 2 was big in the Middle East.
Well, he was raised with very Western heritage.
Okay.
Because he went to British school.
Ah.
And, so they, and he was always given, you know, cartoons, Western cartoons and TV shows. So.
So you've almost.
He doesn't sound like he's from the Middle East. He just, you know, and he hardly even looks it. So. He looks Canadian.
You've almost got yourself an Englishman, you lucky, lucky fox, you.
Oh, lucky me.
Yeah. He knows how to open doors. He appreciates the rules of cricket. He, you know, he's got A-levels.
There's rules to cricket?
It's hard to tell when you're drunk on Pims watching from the sidelines. But jumping in this elegant segue, this segue is about as elegant as a Scud missile, riffing on our Middle Eastern theme. But the reason that we are talking today, apart from the fact that... you and I are great friends, even though this is the first time that we're speaking in person, for all of you people stalking me out there, is that you are not only a blogger, which is, a female sex blogger, which is my favorite type, but you have also, kind of grabbing the zeitgeist by the horns, recently launched a video podcast.
Yes.
And as if by magic, as soon as you launched it, of course, video iPods became available, so everyone started talking about video podcasts. But your podcast, which is known as Miss Kitka's Kitcast, is a weekly show. And how would you describe it?
Oh, it's basically a weekly show with sex news and interviews. So you know, I've taken ideas from the best and tried to splice it together. So instead of just doing interviews in audio, which I'm really not an audio kind of person, I'm a visual kind of person,
mm-hmm.
I've decided to start doing interviews with porn stars, people that have to do with sex rights and, you know, just basically the things that I talk about on my website.
Mm-hmm.
I take aspects from the website, and then I try to find people in my local area that I could interview. Of course, in the future, I hope to spread my wings and see if I can move outside of Montreal and find people to interview and make more interesting shows. But for now, you know, I'm just using what's available to me.
It's a good way to start. And actually, Montreal is surprisingly a sexy place. I say surprisingly.
Sure.
It's not actually surprising when you go there. But,
sure, I refer to it as the San Fernando Valley of Canada because it really is, you know, the place to make porn in Canada.
I'll tell you what's funny about that. And all my friends in San Fernando, you know that I'm not including you in these statements. But the difference between San Fernando and Montreal is that Montreal is beautiful to look at and San Fernando is disgusting. And also, when people make rude movies in... I mean, I know a few of the Montreal porn crowd through my various exploits. And you'll go to a porn studio in Montreal and it will be this beautiful old house, you know, which leads onto a street with a bar and a restaurant in it. And there's a restaurant down below. And then, of course, you meet these young women with these beautiful French Canadian accents and they're, you know, chain smoking like Eastern Europeans and just being cute. In San Fernando, it's a warehouse in an industrial complex and it's just a completely different feel.
Right. Well, you know, I'm just hoping that, yeah, I'm making some contacts as I go, and I'm hoping that each show is just going to go a little bit further and get a little bit better. I plan on interviewing a former high school comrade of mine who is actually in the porn industry, so, you know.
Is that a man or a woman?
And that's actually a man, so...
And is this man going to remain nameless for the show, or?
Well, his name is Tommy Torque, and he won the reality series Porn Star Academy 2 in Montreal. So it was quite a surprise to find out that the young man that I knew in high school has become a porn star.
What did he have to do in Porn Star Academy 2? Because I haven't seen that show.
Well, it's basically like, there was a French Canadian TV show called Star Academy, which was basically American Idol.
Yeah.
And,
which is a takeoff of Pop Idol, which is a British show.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So basically they took that and made it into a porn version where the contestants would have sex with each other, as well as the judges. And well, he won the male portion of the Porn Star Academy too.
When you say they had to have sex with the judges, I still don't see how that differs from American Idol or Pop Idol.
Well, of course, the actual judges. You don't see how that's...
I guess it's on camera this time around rather than in Paula Abdul's dressing room.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So the other question that is going to be springing to mind for people who are checking out Tommy Talk online is, when you say he's an old school friend, is this a guy that you dated?
No, not at all.
Okay. So he's not your type, in case anyone's looking at a picture of him now. So
he has beautiful eyes, but he's not my type.
And that's the thing. You see, there you are. You're a young woman, and you're talking about a guy you know who's just won this porn idol show. Ostensibly with the idea that he's going to have lots of sex with lots of women and get paid for it. And you talk about his eyes. Women are just different that way. it's very interesting. And that's one of the things you notice actually when you meet the other halves of people in the adult industry. Unless they're dating someone who's actually a fellow performer, which isn't that usual, you would never guess, you know, you can never match people up that way. I think being in porn makes you less superficial.
Interesting.
But that's all philosophy. What I want to ask you about is how a young woman such as yourself started writing a sex blog, for a start.
Oh, well, it all started because when I met my boyfriend, he had his own blog, and I was interested in reading it. And I found that the best blogs out there were ones that had topics. So when I started a blog, my blog basically started with, it coincided with when I started my strip dancing classes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started doing these erotic dance classes, all I wanted to do was tell people about them because they're so much fun. So I ended up starting my blog by writing about the strip classes, and other topics came along. I actually had this bet going with my boyfriend that some women in the world actually eat their placenta after they give birth.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. And it's a way to stop postpartum depression.
I've never heard that part. I think, how on earth could those two things be connected?
Oh, well, they say that a lot of the nutrients in a woman's body, vitamins and such, are taken away when she is pregnant. And part of it is, after giving birth, I don't know, look it up on the internet.
Because the internet is such a trusted source of information.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some wacky website out there.
No, well, some women do this. They do eat the placenta in order to get back the certain vitamins that they lost when they were pregnant.
I've heard that, although, because this is something that, you just know about meat. If you're going to... women are screaming at this point hearing me say, refer to the placenta as meat. But don't you lose most of the nutrients in meat when you cook it?
Well, one of the things about... after giving birth is that most mammals actually eat the placenta. Cats, but, dogs, after they give birth.
But they eat it raw.
Licking away.
They eat it raw, but so are you saying, are these women eating their placenta raw?
No, they do actually cook it because apparently it's quite difficult to eat raw.
Yeah, but you see, when you cook it, you're going to lose most of the nutrients.
Well, don't ask me, really, because... I just looked into it, and this is all I found, was that there are women who do it.
You need,
and they
feel
like they have a reason.
What you need to do is make placenta sushi. You need to get a skilled Japanese chef, and maybe make like little California rolls and a little bit of wasabi. But I interrupted your story because you freaked me out with the eating placenta thing. Please go on.
Oh, well, basically, I just found that certain articles got certain attention, and also I just enjoyed writing about sex and porn and stripping, so I just ended up catering everything to those topics. And especially there was one article I wrote about young girls in England who were upset about how dare W.H. Smith sell Playboy stationery in their shop.
Oh, wow.
So I wrote about this, and then I got a horde of angry schoolgirls replying to the post and saying, calling me a stripper and a whore. And
it was
just so much fun to fight back against these, silly 12-year-olds that, I just continued along that sarcastic, evil vein until it died out. And, it's just the most enjoyable thing to write about sex. And
so, were you were you the kind of person that people would have pegged for being a sexpert before you launched the blog?
Probably not. No, I think a lot of people, a lot of my friends and stuff, are quite surprised. And I even had this one little boy that I used to babysit. He was really, really worried, and he told his mother. And the mother, she was worried about me, and she called me one day and, asked me what was going on, and I had to explain that, this was something that I wanted to do, and nobody forced me into it. I'm not a porn star. I'm just someone writing about sex, and you know, it's been quite interesting because I've had articles written about me calling me a Canadian stripper, even though you know I work for diplomats, and a lot of people think I'm a porn star, even though I've never appeared naked.
Would you appear naked?
In Playboy, I would, for sure. But I'd do Maxim, you know, FHM, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But I don't think I would want to do too much. You know, it would just be certain magazines that I think are, you know,
yeah.
high quality and classy.
Yeah, and for our American listeners, everywhere apart from America, basically, there is nudity in Maxim. At least topless nudity, whereas in America there's not, which is why you should always pick up the British version if you're going to, because you get to see a lot more. So when was that? When did you first start MissKitKat.com?
I originally started in April 2005, and I outgrew the MSN spaces where I was, and I ended
That's
up
it.
Just moving to MissKitKat.com and setting up what I thought was, you know, a real blog, because MSN Spaces is just such a piece of crap, and I just couldn't bear to be there anymore.
What?
I had to leave the evil Bill Gates.
So what made you decide to go from the purely kind of text-based blogging thing that so many people do to launching a video cast?
Well, it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. I had originally thought about video blogging with my boyfriend. Video blogging. I don't consider it video blogging, but I had thought about video podcasting when just regular audio podcasting had come out because, mm-hmm. you know, it's just information. So mm-hmm. why couldn't you just, you know, send the same amount of information, but make it a video file instead of an audio file.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had been thinking about it since probably January this year, and we just never did anything about it until recently when I just decided that, you know, I really want to do it, and it's not really that hard, you know? We could do it if we want to. So, I think, you know, just watching or listening to Podnography helped a lot because, you know, it's something you put out every week, and well, if you can do it, you know, why can't I do it?
If I can do it, why anyone can do it. Come on, how difficult could it be?
So, you know, I mean, obviously I can't put out a show that lasts an hour for more than one reason. I mean, first of all, it would just be too huge a file and no one would want to download it. And secondly, I think it would just be very slow to watch if it was an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when it comes to audio, people, you know, they can listen to an hour-long show, but when it comes to visual, it's not something they can really watch for an hour, you know, sitting at their work desk, which most of my viewers end up doing anyways.
Well, the longer your show is, whatever type it is, the higher quality it has to be to justify the length. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's the same with books, it's the same with movies, it's the same with TV. And, you know, my show runs, well, the longest show I ever put out was last week, that ran an hour and 20 minutes. But that's, a huge chunk of that is interview. You know, I get around that. In real terms, actually, the Podnography show, and I hope people don't stop listening because they don't realize they recognize they're not getting very good value. But the actual show itself, if you were to cut out the music and the interviews, would run about 12 minutes, you know, and the rest is kind of segue and space. But putting a video show together, as you do, that lasts even 3 or 4 minutes is a real challenge.
Yeah, actually, I had thought about it when I saw Rocket Boom. Rocket Boom, if for those who don't know, is like a news show that's put out every weekday, and it lasts about 5 minutes, possibly less. And it's this girl, Amanda Com something, I'm afraid I can't remember, Amanda, puts out a new show every day in a sarcastic tone. And it's hilarious, you know. She has so many viewers, and it's that kind of thing that I wanted to do, but I wanted to do it in my lingerie. So basically it just started with this idea of doing a 5-minute show every week in my lingerie in a sarcastic vein, and I was even going to do it in front of a map sitting at a desk. But then I realized, no, you know, I mean, we can do things that are more clever than that. We can, you know, lounge out on the bed and do some different sexy poses, and, you know, so it just kind of, you know, changed from being that to being a sex news show to being a sex news show that has interviews. So.
And do you think that, I mean, it's very public, whereas with a podcast, there's always the possibility that people aren't going to recognize your voice, or at least only people who know you fairly well. On camera, that goes out of the window. I mean, you work for a diplomat, as you said earlier. So you're pretty out, you know, in terms of your sexuality. How are you finding that people react to that?
Well, most of my friends know, some of my coworkers know, but none that actually work in my office. So I have a lot of support. People seem very supportive about it. They get a laugh out of it. And, you know, it's sexy, but it's not, you know, it's basically like me being sarcastic in my underwear, you know? And, it's not like I'm nude, so if they want to fire me, they can fire me. I've been saving money for a long time now. I'm not going to care too much, but, you know, what's the point in firing someone who hasn't actually appeared naked? And
I hope you don't get fired now, because if you do, I'm going to feel incredibly guilty.
You?
Yeah, because I'll worry that they heard it here, and,
Don't worry about it. I've written on my blog that I work for diplomats, and I've also written many times that I'm related to George W. Bush, which
is that true?
Is actually, yeah, it's very ironic, but it's true. It's
wow.
A very distant relationship.
Have you ever met him?
I've never met him.
Would you like to meet him?
In a way, he's probably my greatest inspiration, because if a man like that can be president of the United States, you know, why can't I be?
Kick a bush. I like it. I like it. Maybe you should start emailing him, you know, digests of the show, because he has an iPod, and maybe he's going to upgrade it to the video version.
And why wouldn't he?
Exactly. I mean, come on. I think... Actually, I was going to say, George seems like a guy who'd enjoy porn. I think George would enjoy porn, but, you know, Clinton, he was the porn guy.
Oh,
You know, you could sit down with Bill and just, you know, put on the... He'd be telling you about his favorite scenes and his favorite performances. He was a good guy.
I miss him terribly.
Yeah, it all seems a bit silly now, doesn't it, in retrospect. But what kind of response have you had to your video casting? I mean, actually, this is really odd, but I know women who have told me that their boyfriends and husbands have a crush on you.
Really?
And some of them did so before you even started to video cast. So,
well, that's cool.
What kind of email are you getting in response to this thing?
I'm getting a lot of email. I'm getting just email telling me that, you know, it's a really good show and they enjoy it, and to keep doing it. So, you know,
to wear less.
It's all worth it to me. I've actually closed down my MSN Spaces account because I was getting people adding me to their MSN Messenger list, and, you know, trying to start up a webcam conversation. And
Yeah.
It's all very strange. So I ended up shutting down the MSN Spaces. But, you know, people can still send me emails if they want, and I haven't got any negative emails from anybody, so that's pretty good.
you're an attractive woman who does a video cast in their lingerie. What kind of person? What is there to object to, possibly? The only thing people will be asking you is how they can become a guest on the show, or maybe to say their name very slowly during the credits.
Sure. Well, yeah. You know, I'm always looking for new guests. So if anyone is ever in Montreal and they're interested in being a guest and they're in the industry or they have something to do with the industry, then, you know, I'd be open to them emailing me and telling me about that. I do most of my interviews in public locations anyways, just to stay away from any dangers of, you know, meeting people that either don't know me or I don't know them.
Yeah, that would be very wise. But it, you know, it happens a lot. I mean, in the adult industry, it's a pretty default circumstance that, you know, people have to kind of create this web of security around them, and I mean, it's something that I confront quite a lot actually when I'm doing pornography, because there are people that I speak to who, in fact, I haven't interviewed any, well, actually, this, I'm gonna just tell a complete lie. I speak to people who I know, and I speak to people who I don't know, but the interesting thing is, if I haven't seen someone for, say, a year in person or two, you still have to go through this kind of jumping through hoops process in order to even get them on the phone. You know, you have to call an office, and then the office will give you a cell phone number, and then the cell phone's picked up by a boyfriend or a manager, and he talks to you for a minute or so because they're worried that you're going to play some modified white noise down the phone and turn their partner into a zombie or something, or just become a mad stalker.
Interesting, so, you should mention zombies, it being Halloween soon.
Dun, da, da. You know, zombies are a real issue for the porn industry, and I think zombie porn is really an underexplored niche.
Definitely. Yeah. Zombie porn and sci-fi porn. Need to develop that.
There is sci-fi porn.
There is, but there should be more. There should always be more.
You're such a geek. It kills me. The women that I meet through the female bloggers I meet are geeks and librarians. And the average education level of a female sex blogger is insane. I mean, everyone is either studying for a PhD or, you know, an archival librarian. Everyone is a bloody librarian, and you work for diplomatic people and you like sci-fi. But I can tell you why there's not more sci-fi porn. It's because, interestingly enough, I was never a big sci-fi watcher. Really, I wasn't. I do actually like classic sci-fi, and I read some sci-fi books when I was a kid, but I like the kind of wankier sci-fi, and I like literary sci-fi, so there's an author called Greg Bear who I like, and probably my favorite sci-fi author currently is a guy called Ted Chiang, who's only ever written about 8 short stories, and they're all published in one book, and they're astoundingly good stories. And he works, actually, his day job is he's some kind of rocket scientist. He's got the brain the size of a planet, and he writes these stories which are kind of like tales of the unexpected. So you get to the kind of last paragraph, and you go, oh my God, that's really clever. And it's just Ted Chiang. Everyone go out and buy Ted Chiang. This book is called Stories of Your Life and Others, or My Life and Other Stories. And it's just this one compilation. He's never written a novel. But I do watch, you know, I try and keep up with a little bit of what's going on TV. And
see, I would really like it if someone put out a Battlestar Galactica porn movie.
This is what I was getting to. This is exactly what I was getting to. The reason no one's going to do Battlestar Galactica porn...
I mean, they don't even have to name the girl Six. They could just name her Six.
But there... But the thing with Battlestar Galactica, and I hate to be controversial here, but there aren't any attractive women in it.
What, they could call it Pornstar Galactica.
Yeah. But you can't... You know, whereas there was quite a lot... who was that woman? Was she called Jeri Ryan? Who is
Seven of Nine from Star Trek.
Yeah. But she was actually an attractive woman, you know, when you took off all the kind of silver body paint.
She actually won runner-up in a Miss America pageant.
Yeah. I mean, she's a good-looking woman. But I've seen Battlestar Galactica, And aside from the first season being a lot better than the second season, which is really kind of, I thought the second season was a bit weak, but there are two women in that show that you would normally think are supposed to be attractive. One is, just a scary California, I've had too much plastic surgery disaster area. You know, she looks like a man. She looks really, really. If I was approached by a woman.
I really hope you're not talking about Trisha Helfer.
I'm talking about the 9-foot blonde with the plastic boobs and the
I love her. She's on my list of, she's on my list of girls that, would make me gay.
Well, I don't even think she qualifies as girl. I mean, if I was approached by a woman that tall and that narrow in public, I would assume I was talking to someone who was hanging out with RuPaul. I would be checking for man hands. And she's not, she's just not attractive. She is really just not attractive. I mean, I'm sure she's a lovely person. I'm sure she's kind to animals, but not cute. And then the other woman who you would normally think they would, actually, I tell a lie. There is one attractive woman in that show. Who is Grace Park? The who Korean. Plays? Yeah, is she Korean?
Well, yeah, with a name like Park, yeah, she's Korean.
Yeah, I'm so, yeah, it sounds sounds like a traditional Korean name to me. But yeah, there's an, for people who aren't geeks and don't watch sad sci-fi programs, there's a there are basically four women on this show. One is like a big important older woman. The other is a alien. The other one is a no, there are two aliens, and then one kind of like kick-ass chick. But it's really cheesy casting, because the kick-ass chick is just like any normal person, you know? She's not a great beauty.
No.
No. And then there's the scary, rail-thin, possible tranny. And then there's, and then there's Grace, but Grace Park is lovely looking. I actually saw a photo set of her
cutie,
and Maxim.
No, yeah. I love Trisha Helfer. I want to make a t-shirt that says, I would go gay for Trisha.
Trisha Helfer, to me, and I didn't even know her name before you said it, looks like a cross between Keith Richards and Celine Dion. That is it.
No.
Celine Richards, that is who she could be. And she's got to be 40-something if she's a day, which there's nothing wrong with that, but she's pretending to be 29.
Oh, Sam, no.
Yeah. I think she's...
Well,
she's,
I still stand by my belief that I would go gay for Jolene Blaylock, though.
Who's Jolene Blaylock? I have
she,
no idea.
She played T'Pol on Star Trek Enterprise.
See, now you're in deep, deep geek territory. I pride myself on being up with pop culture. I could probably name three Backstreet Boys. But T'Pol, I have no idea. When you asked me about Star Trek... You see, you said Star Trek Enterprise, right?
Yeah.
See, non-geeks have never even seen that show. If you say Star Trek to me, I can tell you...
It's Scott Bakula.
Yeah, the Quantum Leap guy. But I don't think anyone ever actually watched it. Quantum
Leap... There's a hot Vulcan on the show, you know?
They always put one... Star Trek, I could write the next season of Star Trek. They said, why does it go down the tubes? Here it is. You have kind of hero men. Then you have a token ethnic minority or two. Then you have a token alien. And then you have, like, the comic relief character. That's it. That's all you need for any Star Trek episode.
Well, I challenge you to write it then.
Wow.
And it might be quite interesting if you were to write it.
I'll take it up. Well, I actually, you know, I do have some connections with the entertainment industry when I'm wearing my other hat. And my idea for the Dukes of Hazzard movie was 1,000 times better than the film they made.
Oh, I'm sure.
I tell you, this is absolute. Have you seen the Dukes of Hazzard remake?
I boycotted it.
It was appalling. It was absolutely appalling. And I tell you, it was no better going to see it in a Latvian cinema with Latvian subtitles and Russian subtitles on screen simultaneously. But the Dukes of Hazzard remake was just too straight. It was exactly like Dukes of Hazzard. My suggestion for a Dukes of Hazzard remake, make both Bo and Luke Duke black, but never mention it in the movie. And have Daisy as a white girl and Uncle Jesse as a white guy, and still have them driving around with a Confederate flag on the roof.
Oh, nice.
It would be hilarious.
That's kind of like dressing, being black, but dressing up like KKK for Halloween.
Just having a hand showing? Yeah, that's the good one.
That's a good costume. That's a good costume.
Where you look at someone and go, hey, that's a bit weird. But no, Star Trek.
But, you know, people probably wouldn't notice right away.
They would notice as they kicked your face in that your mask would come off. It would be a Darwin Awards nominee for ironic deaths. Black man beaten to death by angry black mob.
it's kind of like the Japanese woman dressed like a Nazi in Fleshbot this week.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, come on.
Was it a joke or was she a Japanese Nazi?
No, it was in the Asian Sex Gazette, I think.
And, I must have missed an issue.
Oh, this was quite interesting. I actually have a Nazi uniform fetish. I'm not pro-Nazi, but, you know.
We're in dangerous ground here.
There's just something about it that, you know, it's kind of like some people for some weird reason have a bush fetish, and it's, which I've heard of, but I've not actually heard someone say, George W.
Oh, I thought you meant the other bush. I was going to say, you know.
No, not
hair.
That bush.
Okay, because I'm pretty easy.
A president bush fetish. I've heard it exists, but I have yet to hear it from somebody's mouth.
He's the most powerful man in the world, though. I mean, that's the kind of Clinton effect. Anyone who's president can get laid anytime, anywhere, with almost anyone.
And if only he understood that.
Well, the thing is, you have to have a wife to get the job. So by the time you actually get into the position, the best laid person in the world would be an American president, assuming it was a guy, who lost their wife due to some tragic illness, because then they would just be able to revel in the kind of the power and the appeal of it. But they never, well, I guess Bill gave it a go, but look at the woman he chose to have an affair with.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Don't get me started.
You know, yeah, at least JFK, Marilyn Monroe, that makes sense.
Mm. Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Bill Clinton should have been like having sex with Halle Berry. People would have been behind that.
Mm.
It would have been good.
I don't know, ever since Catwoman, I just can't look at Halle Berry.
I didn't see Catwoman, but I could look at Halle Berry.
You know what? I didn't even see Catwoman, but I just can't look at her anymore.
Well, you've got this Jolene Blaylock person. But but maybe you should do the sexy Star Trek. Because you
maybe
are a Trekkie. And I am desperately trying to move away from your nuts uniform fetish, because it is so unpolitically correct. Well, the thing is, you can't really exercise that, because where do you go to buy a Nazi uniform?
Well, no, but you know, Star Trek is a perfect medium for Nazi uniforms.
You know, why?
Because it's the only place where you can see people in Nazi uniforms in a non-documentary sort of atmosphere. And, you know, it's acceptable because it's just a TV show and it's about aliens. And, you know, they've had a Nazi episode in so many different Star Trek series.
How do they get Nazis into space? I don't see it.
Oh, well, there's the holodex, and then there's changing history so that the Nazis win the World War.
They do that?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of great episodes.
Where they just decide for shits and giggles they want the Nazis to win the Second World War?
Absolutely.
That's sick.
No!
And anyway,
it's obviously, when you're watching it, you're going, no, this is terrible. But, you know, it makes for a good story.
And how does the Nazis don't notice the Vulcaneers or the black guy with the visor on?
well, I guess you just gotta watch it to understand.
You're making me wonder about Star Trek now. You see, this is why your show is worth watching, because, you are an eclectic and varied person with an eclectic and varied bunch of interests. I'm so much more eloquent when I'm not talking into a microphone. It's unbelievable. So
sure.
What do you... I'm lying. I'm actually a computer program. I don't exist at all. So what do you have coming up on your show, and what should people be looking out for?
Oh, people should be looking out for more weekly sex news, and hopefully interviews with even more interesting people each week. And I think episode 1.10 is actually going to be one of the most fun episodes, because we've decided to make it an outtakes episode.
Uh-huh.
Because I tend to screw up a lot. And I swear we have some really good outtakes that people are just going to probably be pissing themselves in their chair.
I love outtakes. Well, there's a warning to everyone to get your Depends on before they watch that show. And you're going to have a show 1.10. Are you going to have like a show 1.99 and 1.100?
Well, we're hoping to do it in seasons. So.
Oh wow! Very professional.
Yeah, because you know, like everyone needs a little break, right? So.
That's interesting. So you'll be in repeats.
We're not sure. No repeats, but we'll, we figure what we'll do is we'll do a season and, then we'll change the intro to, a different theme.
Mm-hmm.
So that it changes every season. So this season we have the patriotic American Air Force theme.
Uh-huh.
Very nicely sarcastic. And who knows what next season will be, but, you know.
Blame Canada from South Park.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is trying to find open source music right now.
Yeah.
It's really tough to get some good open source music to use for the podcasts.
It's very hard.
And, I mean, it's very easy to get techno and jungle and that kind of stuff, but when it comes to, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of types of music that are so heavily licensed that you just can't use them, or you have to get permission and, you know. Just
I bet you have musical fans, so if there are any musicians who are watching your show, you should just put out an APB and you'll be inundated. Unfortunately, it'll come on DVDs that also contain webcam shots of guys with their dicks out, but there might be good music there too.
That would be great.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to send me porn, you know, that's fine with me.
Homemade or professional?
Both is fine with me.
Well, you heard it there first, and I hate to imagine the torrent of filth you're going to receive in your email as of that going out. But thank you so much for taking the time. And people should go and check out your blog and your videocast. I don't know what to call those things. And there will be links on the pornography site. The KitCast. And are you in... well, you're very new, so I guess you're not... Are you listed in iTunes yet?
I am listed in iTunes.
Oh, good. You go, girl.
Sure. You can either look up Ms. KitKat or look up KitCast, and it'll show up both ways.
iTunes hate me so much. I'm not listed in iTunes. What is going on?
I know. I tried to subscribe.
Yeah, I know.
But
and when
not
you
tr- even there.
When you try, and when you, tr- well, you can subscribe through iTunes, but they haven't listed the show. And when you try and submit the link, they'll say, no, we know about this show already.
Well, I'm there. I know Soccer Girl's there, and Violet Blue is there.
Soccer Girl is like the biggest sex podcast going. I mean,
yeah.
she's the highest rated sex podcast, I think, period.
I watched a couple episodes the other day.
She does interesting stuff. We should get you guys together. But go and check out the KitCast in iTunes, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Sam.
We will
and
speak
thanks to
again.
Everyone out there.
You're so kind, warm and fuzzy, and you sound so good as well. We will talk again in the not too distant future, I'm sure.
Good.
That is it for Podnography Show 13. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out podnography.com for past shows, fleshbot.com for daily sex news, and sugarbank.com for more of me. My name's Sam Sugar, and that was Podnography.